Now, yesterday, staff at the Royal Liverpool Hospital were given the new coronavirus vaccine. It comes as the medicines regulator, the MHRA, has advised anyone with a history of significant allergic reactions not to have the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine at this stage. Just as a precaution, Dr. Paul Fitzsimmons, who is the Deputy Medical Director at the Royal, has been involved in the staff vaccination. This is what he said.
Now, our staff have just worked so hard through COVID, keeping people safe on the wards and treating so many people. So it's been really good today to get so many staff members into the treatment centre to get them those vaccines. And we know we've really concentrated on those high-risk staff, staff that have been shielding, and our BAME staff to make sure that they're as safe as we can keep them at work. I think most of them are hugely relieved.
I bet that was an emotional time as well. And Professor Chris Whitty told a committee of MPs that the city's success in reducing infection rates was just down to the whole community coming together and working together.
Because of the leadership locally of not just political leaders, but the whole society, Liverpool took this really seriously. And that's the reason why they got the rates down so fast and so early from really high rates. It was local buy-in.
Well, yeah, it's good to hear that. Let's speak now with Dr. Angela Obasi, the Senior Clinical Lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Hi, Angela. Thanks for being with us. It's good to hear Chris Whitty say that, and it's good to hear that vaccinations have started in the city. And I mentioned about being quite emotional. I mean, I wasn't there, but for the people who were there, it must have been.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there myself, but this has been such a tumultuous and emotional year. And to get the vaccine this side of Christmas is such an extraordinary achievement. I can imagine that people would just, I mean, it's bittersweet as well, isn't it? Because we're all dealing with loss. You know, there'll be grandchildren up and down the country without their grandparents this Christmas. But what an achievement by the global scientific community and the logistics and the organisation to get those vaccines actually in people's bodies this very year. It's just an extraordinary achievement.
We were the first in the world to get this vaccine. The US President-elect Joe Biden has promised that during his first 100 days in office, 100 million Americans will be vaccinated against coronavirus. That's going to be from January onwards. So we're incredibly lucky considering the fact and the latest rates that we see in the United States at the moment, which sadly only seems to be going one way.
Well, it's not just luck, is it? I mean, there has been, you know, you and I have spoken on a fortnightly basis for months now about the careful decision-making that has gone on in this country, the involvement of scientists, politicians, economists, trying to walk that line between damage caused by too restrictive lockdown and damage caused by too lax lockdown. And if you see how, and also that, remember that Jonathan Van Tam briefing a month or so ago, where we were taken through the procedures, the adaptations to the regulation system that our scientists had come up with, the people who carry responsibility for this kind of national rollout. And they also have been very careful and intentional about making sure that they can get that rollout up and running as quickly as possible while still maintaining the highest standards of safety. Mm. And I think I've told you before that, you know, I have confidence in that. And so whilst we are lucky that we are having the vaccine, this is luck that's come from a lot of hard work and careful thinking.
Yeah. I mean, you make your own luck, of course you do. You're right. There's been many views, Angela, and opinions that have been banned about regarding whether it's been made too soon, whether it's safe. We're going to speak in a moment about the allergic reactions that were reported yesterday. But, I mean, I can pretty much guarantee I'll get emails or text or something on social media to say that our conversation now is fake news and we are part of a government conspiracy to change the nation's DNA. Now, I can pretty much guarantee I will get something along those lines this morning then, that this is all fake news and it's all a fix. When you read that, when you hear that, what goes through your mind?
Do you know what I remember? I remember the anti-vaxxers who wouldn't take MMR. And then I remember the children who were severely ill, disabled, and some died in this very country, one of the highest, you know, GNP, most advanced countries in the world, because of fake news about a vaccine that was there to protect children, a vaccine that was there that had, you know, that had been so rigorously tested over decades. People then, and later it was shown that this news was all entirely, or that science was all entirely fabricated, but people fell in with it, and children and parents withheld vaccine from their children, and then the children suffered for it. And this is exactly the same thing. There are just some people who spread mischief, and some of them get some kind of gain from doing that. And it behoves us to pay attention to the scientists, the people who, you know, I think one of the things that has been really impressive about the UK response to this is the transparency. You know, week in, week out, Downing Street briefings, you know, people at the highest levels of the systems of public health safety in the UK being in front of cameras answering questions. You know, Chris Whitty and others have pushed for transparency. We've never had this much information about ongoing studies in so transparent a way. It's just never happened before.
I mean, there was too much information at one point. I mean, the graphs, yeah, there was like too much.
Exactly.
So we had to kind of, you know, roll back on it and put it in a simple way. Can I just mention the jab yesterday, the Pfizer jab, the BioNTech and Pfizer jab, triggered an allergic reaction in two NHS workers. Now, the medicines regulator, they recommended that people with a history of severe allergic reactions don't get the jab. Now, the NHS say this is a precaution, of course. So what sort of allergies would we be talking about here?
So vaccines have always had guidance about, you know, because of the constituents, what goes into vaccines. I work at the School of Tropical Medicine, and as you can imagine, we give people vaccinations all over, you know, throughout the year, to protect them about for their various travels. And we always take a careful history about, you know, allergies, because there are a small proportion of people who are at increased risk of allergic reaction to any kind of vaccines, just because of the constituents of them, and so, you know, it's just following the same principle. This is not a new thing with COVID. You know, all vaccines, because of the constituents of them, have a potential risk for allergic reaction in some groups of people who are who have an atopy, that's the technical term for the kind of body that kicks off reactions, if you see what I mean.
So this is precautionary, it's
precautionary
at the moment.
I think the point that I want to make is it's not because COVID vaccine is any more allergenic than any of the other vaccines that people will routinely take when they get on a plane to go to, you know, any foreign resort. It's just in the nature of vaccines.
Well, Angela, we're out of time, and I think this is your last little session with us, and I'm going to be moving from this programme as well in the new year, so this is probably the last time we'll talk for a while. Can I just say thank you to you and your colleagues for the information you've given us over the past few months, and the reassurance that you've given us as well. It's been a massive help to hear from the people who do this for a living. And it has been reassuring for me, and I'm sure for people listening as well. But as I say, we're out of time. And have you got a little nugget for us, a little poem to finish with?
I do. And it's about this. I mean, it's wonderful that we have now. We've reached that goal where we have these vaccines and we've got one and we know that there are others in the pipeline. But it's also just been a really, really hard year. And coming into winter, I found this this poem by an Irish poet called John Donoghue. Some of you may have heard it earlier in the year. Fergal Keane read it on I think it was Radio 4. But it was one that I'd already identified that I wanted to share with people.
Okay.
And it's from a book called Benedictus, which is a book of blessings. This is the time to be slow, lie low to the wall until the bitter weather passes. Try as best you can not to let the wire brush of doubt scrape from your heart all sense of yourself and your hesitant light. If you remain generous, time will come good, and you will find your feet again on fresh pastures of promise, where the air will be kind and blushed with beginning.
Angela, thanks for your time this morning. That's nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take care. In the new year.
Hopefully. Thank you very much. Thank you. Dr. Angela Obasi, the Senior Clinical Lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. So there you are. Hold